Well, every diocese has a way of assigning priests. Usually it's called a personnel council, and they work with a bishop, and then when it's time, somebody is nominated to make the phone call. One year they asked me to make the call, and I got to make three of them. One priest was going to move, and then I was going to call the second one to move to the first guy's place, and then the third one was moving to the second guy's place. So I get excited. Yeah, this is an honor. So I call up and I said, "Father, on behalf of Bishop Callahan, you're being reassigned. You're going to move to so-and-so by July 1st, and so what do you think?" He said, "No." Well, I didn't even know that was an option. I mean, what do you mean, no? I mean, please, pretty please? I can't call my other two guys if you don't say yes. Anyway, they've never asked me to make those phone calls ever since. But the idea, of course, is that we can say no to the bishop or to our parents or to God himself. Whatever our life is, there's a free choice. And this is by God's design. If there's no freedom, there's no love. I'm going to make you love me. Well, that wouldn't be love at all. It's a choice. It's one that we make every day. And God, he gives us a freedom. He knows that we're going to abuse it. He knows that some of our choices have terrible consequences. We don't always know that. Some of us have to learn the hard way. And so saying no, this isn't a shock. If you're a parent, sometimes you ask your kids to do something and they can start stomping a little bit. My dad, he was strict when we were kids growing up, and he wanted us to learn how to tie our shoes before we could go outside. I have one brother that still wears Velcro. It's just he never figured that out. But saying no, this isn't a shock. If you listen to the readings, it's very clear. You know, Prophet Isaiah is talking about God's people. And they've got everything. And yet they don't produce any fruit. God has given them all these gifts, and there's nothing to show for it. Maybe we think of other illustrations, like Solomon, that's David's son. And David goes and he conquers all these kingdoms. And then he amasses all these materials. And Solomon, it's your turn. You got everything you need to build a beautiful temple, and he does it. But then he falls into sin. He's like, "You had it all and you blew it. What the heck?" I mean, now you still might not understand, so let's give you a contemporary illustration that the Milwaukee Brewers, they win the Central Division. They got home field advantage. They got their number one pitcher up and they blow it. Oh, well. Anyway, move on. And then we get to Jesus, and he's talking about that, "I chose you. I want you. And you don't want me." And it's very clear that he's referring to the Son. This is the heir, and they killed him. Jesus is prophesying. He's telling them this is the way it's going to go. It's so many times in our life that, well, we are given a choice, and we make the wrong one. It hasn't changed. That's the Jewish people. But what about the Christians? There was a guy, King Louis XIV, the Sun King, the longest reigning prelate ever in the history of the human race. He was the king in France, and at the same time, the St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, Jesus is appearing to her, and Jesus says, "Go tell the king I want him to enthrone France to the Sacred Heart, my Sacred Heart, and I'll watch out for them. I'll always be good to them." And so she makes this presentation to the king. He thinks it over, and he says, "No thanks." Well, God doesn't just get us back. He's not a vengeful God. He's not always looking for retribution. But if we turn our back on him, well, there are consequences. A world without God is one that self-destructs. And France, not too long later, fell into the French Revolution, where they started killing themselves. They had this terrible thing called a guillotine. They killed lots of people that were innocent because sin has consequences. Defiance, disobedience leads to bloodshed and hurt. Now, there's a theme song for all these readings. It comes from a band called Morphine from some years ago, and it goes like this. "I had my chance and I let it go. I had my chance and I let it go. But if I ever get myself another chance like that, I'm gonna grab it and I won't look back. I'm gonna grab it and I won't look back. Wah, 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 wah." That's the saxophone solo. Anyway, the idea, though, is that God is a master of concessionary plans. He says, "I'm going to show you how to be saved." He knows we're going to say no, and then he's going to give us another chance. And then we're going to say no again, but sooner or later, please God, we come to our senses. Oh, the country of France said no, but later on, and it wasn't that much later, she came to talk to a little girl named Bernadette. It was in a place called Lourdes in 1858. And Bernadette, for all her struggles, her family was very poor, but she was rich in faith. And when Mary appeared to her, she said yes. Mary said, I cannot promise you any happiness in this life, but only in the life to come. And Bernadette, because her faith was true, she accepted the cross. She accepted suffering because she knew that love and faith and hope, those things are far greater. You and I are given many choices, many opportunities. The stone rejected by the builders becomes the cornerstone. What in your life are you rejecting? What am I in mine? Think about it. Just the things that we might really dislike might be permitted by God to help us to grow. A friend of mine used to get so angry about his anxiety, and he fought it, and he tried to overcome it. He'd just wrestle with God until one day God said, why don't you accept it? And he has, and it softened him. It's made him the kind of guy you can go talk to about your problems because he has this gift of empathy. He still has his anxiety, but he knows it doesn't define him. Another guy that I know that was just always judging his family, was always angry about his family, and they just weren't coming around. Once again, he prayed, and God gave him the grace. Why don't you just love them? I'll save them. I can change their hearts. I'll help them on their way home. You just love them for who they are. And that simplified things. We can reject things that, in fact, if we accept, will lead us to heaven. And a lot of other people besides. The famous guy Hugh Hefner in his own life was rejecting his childhood. Why? Because his parents were very strict. He was never hugged or held or kissed as a little boy growing up. And because of those hurts that he rejected, it came out in terrible ways as an adult. He's in the hands of God, but if we reject certain stones, they could have become cornerstones. The last story is a Carthusian, which is the strictest order in the world. This guy, at the end of this long movie called In the Great Silence, all filmed in a Carthusian monastery that has never happened in 1,000-year existence of that order, but they made this movie Into Great Silence, and at the end, the only dialogue is with this blind monk. And he said that, I thank God for my blindness every day because I know that God permitted it only for the good of my soul. The stone rejected by you and me could have become a cornerstone. It could have become holy. It could have helped us to be humble and kind and merciful. It could have helped us to become like Christ. You can say no. Lots of people do. All of us in one way, shape, or form have done it. But some said yes. Bernadette, the Blessed Virgin Mary, all the angels and saints. And now the invitation is for us. Say yes to the Lord, for his love is everlasting.